السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with the series of khutbas on tarbiyah wa tazkiyah. And inshallah, this will continue for the next several weeks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only to teach by telling, but to teach by showing and by demonstration. And He jalla jalaluhu said about Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فَهُمْ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow for the one, for him who hopes in the meeting with Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greatly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only told us that His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for us to follow, but specified that this is only for those who hope to meet Allah and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very much. I remind myself and you that only the one who hopes for something good in a meeting will hope for that meeting. Let us try to understand and reflect on the meanings of the specific word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in the Quran. Allah said, Yarjullah. The one who hopes to meet Allah. The meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inevitable. For the one who hopes and the one who does not hope, it doesn't make any difference. Everyone, if he was created, if she was created, will die and will meet Allah. There is absolutely no doubt about this. Whether we believe it or we don't believe it makes no difference. The outcome will happen, and that is the nature of reality. Reality is that which does not depend on belief for its existence. Reality is real for those who believe and for those who don't believe. But what is the benefit of believing? The benefit of believing is that the one who believes prepares for that reality. And the one who does not believe deceives himself and continues to say that this reality is not true until he faces it. And that facing of that reality is inevitable, and there is nothing on the face of this planet which can change that. And that is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how to ensure that our meeting with Him, which is inevitable, can be good. The first thing therefore to ask ourselves, and this may seem like a stupid question to ask, but it's serious and it's a very important thing to ask sometimes these stupid questions, because we live in this world as if this question is a given, but it's not a given if you look at our lives. And the stupid question I want to ask you and myself is, do we really look forward to the meeting with Allah? Seriously ask this question. Sit down and say, do I look forward to meeting Allah? An obvious answer is, if I look forward to meeting with Allah, then my life must reflect this so-called desire of mine. Because I cannot say to myself that I look forward to meeting Allah when my life is going in a direction where that meeting will not be a good one. May Allah save us from that, inshallah. So that's the reason why I think it's very important for us to sit down and reflect and think. Today, one of the biggest problems of our lives is that our lives have become completely transactional. Our lives have become completely, interactive in many, many different ways. There was a time at least when you were driving a car when you had some silence. But no longer today. There was a time when other people were not around you. If you were alone, that there was some silence. But thanks to smartphones and stupid people, that also is gone. Right? I mean, we have all forms of gadgetry which is supposed to help us to communicate, but you know and I know that we have the communication gadgets, but we do not communicate any longer. Our communication sticks. We have to change this, because if our mind is constantly bombarded with sensations, whether it is visual sensations or audible sensations or sound or talk or videos or whatever, if the mind is constantly bombarded with this, then the mind has no reflection time. The mind has no time to think. The mind has no time to reflect. And that is the source of all evil. The source of all evil is that we have no time to reflect. And that is the reason why in the days of old, when tarbiyah was the norm, the sheikh would make you simply go and sit under a tree and do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. Just go and sit in one place, whether it was under a tree or wherever, sit quietly and do the zikr of Allah. And that zikr of Allah is not counting tasbih. No, because that again is a problem. Because now you are focused on the numbers, and you are not focused on what you are saying. You are not saying subhanallah and trying to experience and understand subhanallah. You are focused on whether it is 33 or 34 or 100 or whatever it is you are counting. So the purpose of that zikr is lost, because you are counting numbers. I am not saying the tasbih Fatimi and so on, which is specific numbers. By all means do that. I am not talking about that. I am just saying the purpose of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to get the glory and majesty of the asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala into our being. Not to count some number. And that is why this reflection is very, very important. And that's why I began this whole series of khutbas on tazkiyah wa tarbiyah, basically for my own benefit. And if it benefits you also, alhamdulillah. Which is to remind ourselves that the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close. It's very close. Just yesterday, one of our elders, the Amir of Tablighi Jamaat here, Hazrat Malana Naimullah Khan Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he passed away. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give him Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab, and should give sawab to his, and give sabr to his family. The man spent his whole life trying to struggle and work for the deen of Allah. The time comes for everybody. For the old ones and the young ones and the good ones and the bad ones and everyone. I mean, there's no one. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, believe me, no one else is going to live. If there was one person in the whole of creation who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have and would have given eternal life, that was Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he was given a choice. And he came, and in the khutbah that he gave on the Thursday before he passed away on a Monday, the khutbah that he gave on a Thursday in the Masjid al-Nabawi, he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a slave of Allah who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a choice to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this slave a choice that he can live in this world as long as he wishes, or he can meet his Rabb. And the slave chose to meet his Rabb. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was sitting in front, he started weeping. And the Sahaba said that we thought to ourselves, why is this old man crying? For what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying some story, a slave was there and, you know, alhamdulillah, maybe some lesson for us. Why is this old man weeping? And on Monday they knew why Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was weeping. Because of all that hujum in the masjid, there was only one man who understood what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to. That slave was himself. Abduhu wa rasuluh. The slave about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave. His slave, abduhu wa rasuluh. And his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned, to demonstrate and to create a model that if we follow that model, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to follow this beautiful model that Allah sent us. And for those who follow that model, then that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is inevitable, will be, insha'Allah al-musta'an, a very good meeting. I therefore remind myself and you to follow the sunnah as much as we can, because we want our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be good. Please remember that deliberately disobeying the sunnah is a major sin. It is one of the kabair, which if persisted in, can lead to kufr, to denial. Selective obedience is disobedience. Deliberate disobedience is rebellion. What distinguishes a mistake from a crime is consciousness. A mistake committed deliberately is a crime. One is forgivable, the other punishable. Same rule for this world and same rule for the akhirah. As I told you, I don't make the rules, I don't break the rules. It's not my rule, it's the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's incumbent upon the ummatis of the Rasul, on the ummatis of this Rasul, therefore, that they look to themselves to see what examples they are creating for their own families, their associates, their employees, their employers, and their friends to follow. The Nabi was sent as an example to all of mankind. And the Ummah of this Nabi was given this job of carrying on this duty, this great honor of being examples for all mankind till the last day. And therefore, if we are the Ummatis of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshaAllah we ask Allah to count us all among the true Ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it automatically, the moment you say, I am an Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes incumbent on us. The minute I say I am an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have accepted the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the dalil of this? The dalil of this is the ayah of Suratul Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to introduce himself. And he said, say, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Allah said, say that it is my way to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with proof, with clear evidence, and I do this work and those who follow me do this work. It is a conditional statement. If somebody says, I am an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I will not do the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then automatically you have removed yourself from the people who are the muttabi'een of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are called his ummati. So let us make intelligent choices. So let me see, let me therefore tell you, I'm talking about the examples that we create. The examples that we create in this world. So let me tell you what I have seen personally. And Allah is witness, I am not cooking up these stories. These are actual experiences that happened to me. I was in one large family gathering and a young teenage boy, maybe he was 13 or 14, came to me and whispered in my ear. He said, tell them not to eat up other people's lands. I was in this family gathering and I was supposed to give a talk, and this 13 or 14 year old boy, he came and whispered in my ear, he said, Yavar uncle, tell them not to eat up other people's lands and properties. Tell who? His own family people, his own uncles, his own parents, because it was a family gathering. I was in another family gathering, and this was part of an arbitration that I was conducting. Very large business family, very wealthy. And we had finished half a day of discussions and listening to, you know, whatever happens in such gatherings of interactions between the brothers and cousins. And then we broke for salah and lunch. And during lunch, I was at the buffet. One of the young boys who was there, one of the nephews, one of the young boys, he came and whispered in my ear, he said, tell them to fear Allah. Eh? Little boy, he says, tell them to fear Allah. They are fighting as if they will stay here forever. Who is he talking about? His own father, his own uncles. Again, small boy. He tells me, tell them to fear Allah. They are fighting as if they will stay here forever. Tell me, my brothers and sisters, seriously, look into your own lives. How likely is it that these youngsters will have respect for their elders? Huh? Do you think they will respect their elders? But of course, we have justification. Huh? You and I have justification for all the cheating and lying and slander and riba and bribing and eating riba and eating doubtful chickens and gambling and drinking alcohol and participating in haram gatherings and holding haram gatherings and so on and so forth. We all have justifications. Everybody's got a justification. However, I want to remind you and myself that a justification doesn't make a wrong into a right. A justification doesn't make a crime into a good deed. Those who denigrate and insult Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a justification for it. Are you willing to say it's okay? Those who burnt the Quran had a justification for it. Are you willing to say it's okay? Those who are occupying other people's lands and slaughtering children have a justification for it. They are absolutely convinced that what they are doing is haqq. Believe me, they do not lose any sleep whatsoever in the night. They sleep very peacefully. They have a justification. Are you willing to accept it? They have a justification, just like you have a justification. Just like I have a justification. Now, if we are not willing to accept those justifications, why do we imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our justifications? Think about that. Please, Allah did not send us into this world to live like animals. Wake up in the morning, eat some food, go to work, eat some grass, come home, make a few babies, go to sleep, wake up next morning and drop dead and push up the grass. This is how animals live. This is not how human beings live. This is definitely not how Muslims live. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this dunya with this deen for what? For what? To sell it? Allah sent us with this deen to live this deen. He sent us with this beautiful deen not only to live this deen and practice it and thereby earn Jannah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of you. May Allah give you Jannah in spite of yourselves. May Allah protect you from yourself. Allah gave us this deen not only for that. He gave us this deen to take other people into the Jannah with us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be ummatis of mine who will have followings, who will enter into Jannah behind them bigger than some Anbiya. Allah will give the barakah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will give thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who will form one man into the Jannah, one woman into the Jannah. Tell me, don't you want to be that man? Don't you want to be that woman? Arey, kuch toh khwahish karo yaar. Have some desire. You just want to live this world desiring Louis Vuitton handbags and Bali shoes and God knows what. That's what desiring? Or do you want to desire a time when you will be seated on a throne of pearls under the arsh of Allah? And they will ask, who is this man? Abdul Aleem Khan. Is he a Nabi? Is he a Shaheed fi Sabilillah? Then they will say, no, he is not a Nabi. He is not a Shaykh fi sabilillah. But he is an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to invite towards Allah. And Allah will send into the Jannah hundreds upon thousands of people behind this one Abdul Alim Khan, inshallah. Hey? Have a desire, for God's sake. Have a desire worth having. Work towards that. Have a desire and start the work. Allah knows we are weak. Allah will not hold us to the standards of the Sahaba. Allah knows we are weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find excuses to give us. But it is also the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He demands that we take the first step. So make the niyyah and take the first step. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His glory and majesty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His forgiveness to give us in keeping with His grace and majesty, not in keeping with our work, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, so the first thing to ask yourself is not how bad the outside world is, but how good or bad the world inside your home is. Remember that you will be respected if you are worthy of respect. Age does not automatically give you that. Shaykh Saadi alayhi rahmah said, Buzrugi ba aqalast nabasal, tawangari ba dilast nabamal. In Farsi, Allama Saadi said that buzrugi, which is wisdom, doesn't come by age. It comes by intelligence, by aql. And he said that tawangari, which is generosity, is not a factor of how much you have, but a factor of how big your heart is. Bolne wale bol ke khatam ho gaye. Hamara kaam unke alfaz dohrana bas khalas. The people who had to say, they said and they died. And our job is simply to repeat those words like parrots, not to follow them. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Age doesn't automatically give respect. Respect comes from character, from behavior and attitude. These are the things which earn respect. Respect, my brothers and sisters, must be earned. It cannot be commanded. It cannot be bought. You can command and buy the show of respect. Because of your position of authority, you can demand that a person stands to attention when he talks to you, that a person salutes you. But we have enough of my friends and elders in the police who know that when you are saluting some people, what's actually in your heart? Huh? Why? Because that person you are saluting because of force. Because you are part of the police, you are part of the army, you are part of something, and you know you have to salute. But is there any respect for that person? No. Because you see the action of that person. See, here is a corrupt human being. He is, you know, is. If I didn't have to salute him, I wouldn't even look at him. So how can you have, you can have the show of respect. That's not respect. Respect has to be earned and it comes from within the heart. And so therefore, I ask myself and I request you to ask yourself. Please forgive me, there are many of my elders here. And I know that some things I say are against adab. But I am not standing here in my position as Yavar Beg. I am standing here in my position as the Khatib of this masjid. And therefore it is my duty to say what needs to be said. I will be very happy and very delighted to give up this position. The last position Allah knows best. The last position in the world that I ever asked for is Imamat and Khitabat. But as long as I do it, I hold only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my witness. And I will say what I know needs to be said. Not because it gives me popularity, or not because anyone may like it or don't like it. I say it because that is the role of this position of khitabat, which is the mimbar of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore I ask myself, and I ask you to ask yourself, are you worthy of respect? Seriously reflect and think and say, am I worthy of respect? In a hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, Muwatta, Malik and Sunan Tirmidhi, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his slave, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, I love so and so, therefore you also love him. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam loves him. And then he, Jibreel alayhi salam, calls out in the heavens and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so. The name of the person, the name of the person is called in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so. And therefore you also love him. And the inhabitants of the heavens, who are the malaika, also love that person. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then acceptance for that person, respect for that person, honor for that person, love for that person is established on the earth. And you will find that people who did not even know you, people you never met, they honor you, they respect you, they love you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued and said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates a slave of his, the same process is repeated. He calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, I hate so and so. So you also hate him. And then Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to the inhabitants of the heavens and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates so and so. Therefore hate him. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so they hate him. And hatred is established for that person on earth. And this hadith is collected and narrated in Muslim, Bukhari, Muwatta Imam Malik and Sunan Tirmidhi. The key message from this is the fact that the love or the hatred of people, honor or humiliation, is a result of obedience or disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a result of popularity, it's not a result of how many people you please. It's a result of the Rabb you please or you don't please. Popularity and respect does not come from the people we please. Wallahi, I don't know what more example we want of this than to look at our own politicians. The people in politics, what will they not do to please their electorates and to please their vote banks before the election? But which politician is actually loved and respected? Even by the ones who vote for him. Ajib, today in this world, if I just ask you to name for me three people in politics who you genuinely respect, I don't know whether we even have three names, globally. I'm not even talking about Muslims. Anybody. Globally, I don't even know whether we have three names of people that we can name, who we can say that truly I respect this individual and I want my son or daughter to be like that person. We have reached the bottom of the pit and we are digging. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors those who obey him and dishonors and humiliates those who disobey him. And to do either, to honor or to dishonor, Allah does not need to change even their worldly condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring honor to the poorest person in his hut, and he can bring dishonor to the wealthiest and the most powerful dictator and the most powerful president and prime minister while he is still sitting in his presidential palace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can dishonor them and humiliate them in their seats of power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give honor to the one he wants in whatever state of material deprivation that person might be living in. And therefore, my brothers and sisters and elders, the most important thing about tarbiyah is to accept that it begins at home. Many of us like to talk about how society has become corrupted, and you are right. We like to talk about how ethics and morals have become eroded to the point of almost disappearing from our experience and discourse. We like to talk about how promiscuity and shamelessness is the order of the day. We like to talk about how lying and cheating are not only no longer criticized, but are actually applauded as being smart. We like to talk about how those whose responsibility it is to uphold the law have themselves become its most prominent destroyers. We talk about how the world is devoid of compassion, of adab, of respect, of dignity, of honesty, of integrity, and of truth. We read about rapes and murders daily until we have become desensitized to these horrors. And this is the world that we created. And this is the world that we have handed down to our children. Now, I'm specifically talking to my generation. This is the world that we created. And this is the world that we handed down to them, to our children. Make no mistake, our children didn't have any hand in creating the world that they inherited from us. They're not the creators of that world. We are the creators. And this is the world that we complain about. We complain about all these things that our children are exposed to in the outside world. But how many of us ask the question, what are my children exposed to inside my home? Do we ask this question? We talk about what will happen to my child. He goes to this school, that college, that university. What is the atmosphere there? What are his friends like? He's going here, he's going there. But do we ask this question and say, when my child comes home, what is he or she exposed to inside my home? Do we ask this question to ourselves and say, am I the best example for my child? Can I say to my child, be like me? The Sahaba said this to everybody. Kunu mislana, be like us. I'm saying, can you and I say that even to our own children? Be like me. And if I do say to my children, be like me, will the child accept that statement? Or is he going to fall down laughing? Be like you. Seriously, I request you to ask yourself this question, and I ask myself also these questions. Because it's absolutely no use coming and listening to khutbas and going away with some good feeling. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. But if there is no change in our life, if there is no change in our attitudes, if there is no change in our behavior, if there is no change in what comes out of our mouth, if there is no change in the actions that come out of our hands, then believe me, this experience of sitting in a khutbah is utterly useless. Not only is it utterly useless, it is a witness against you on the Day of Judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from these sessions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you for coming, to reward you for listening, and to help you with His power to bring about change in your life such that your lives will become beacons of guidance, not only for your children, but for the children of the world. But for everyone who comes into contact with you, I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should guide anyone who comes into contact with you. I ask Allah to guide anyone you speak to, anyone who speaks to you, anyone who looks at you, anyone who comes in your presence, anyone who even sees you anywhere, anyone who even walks on the path that you have walked on. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to grant you the company of the Anbiya and the Awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the shade of His Arsh and to honor you on a day when the only honor will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla wa ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.